Oh, what? You thought I was going to miss a Sunday? No, I told you, I'm not missing a single episode this year, all right? It's currently 8:30 p.m. in Perth, okay? And it's Sunday where I am. So if it's not Sunday where you are, doesn't matter, mate. This came out on a Sunday where I am. That's the only thing that matters. Welcome to the podcast. We've got a banging episode with one of my favorite comedians, Amos Gill. It's really, really funny. We go places. Look, we circle back around to some very important topics by the end of this thing. It's definitely worth watching the entire thing. This is a really good episode. I had a lot of fun. I hope you enjoy it. See Amos Gill live. See me live. Loosebeers.com. I don't know Amos's website. You can figure it out. Enjoy the episode. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode... I can't remember, of the Speared Sundays podcast. I'm your host, Lewis Spears. I'm joined by... very special guest, good friend, one of the best comics in Australia, I think.
That's nice, man. I'm not really here that often, but I'll take it.
When he's in Australia, the standard goes up. He makes a big impact. We'll say
what a,
that.
What a talent pool we've got as well.
Yeah.
Easy. Oh, yeah. You watch the Melbourne Comedy Festival gala and you just think, oh, how can I cut it in this market?
I know. It's
why
tough.
Do I start off bitter immediately every time? I don't know why I have to, but here we
yeah.
are.
Yeah. Well, look, Amos Gill is his name. Let's get your name out. Amos Gill. And he's one of the comics that every time I see what you're doing, I just go, fuck. I want to do that.
What is it about what I'm up there doing? To being, roughly 20 to 30 people in a bad pub?
Being not here in this country, just see that and I go, man, if I could sell... At the moment, since coming back from surgery, my dreams have just started again. Right. Before it was like, oh, I'm going to do Madison Square Garden before I'm 50.
Right.
Now
before,
it's
that's
like...
That's pretty manageable.
I think it's possible.
How does you getting your fucking jaw cut off change the 50 timeline?
Well, it was, you know what it was? It was the 4 years of despair.
Right.
just the dreams just slowly move backwards.
You want to know a guy who's been wrestling with some dark times? He's got Epictetus hanging around. If you see a dude buying a lot of Stoic books, just be like, you all right, mate? Hey?
Yeah.
You got a bit of Marcus Aurelius there?
You know what's when he's really going through it is when there's handwritten notes.
I didn't want to mention that, but he's written a lot of notes and then sort of related it to his own life, like underlined, just like the surgery you've had. Hang in there, buddy.
Yeah.
Go away,
yeah.
Andre.
So that's where I was at, and now things are looking up. So now the dreams are starting to come up. So I think Madison Square Garden before I'm 50 will return.
I did Madison Square Garden with Jim.
Wow.
Not the greatest of venues you've ever been to. Not to be disrespectful to Madison Square Garden. But,
yeah, it's definitely not a comedy
they get,
venue.
Well, and the backstage rider was a bowl of M&Ms in a cardboard like bowl.
What, all of the colours or?
They did all the colours. Jim doesn't do any of that fucking nonsense. Look, I'll say this about Jim Jeffries. He's kept his feet on the ground. He just eats a standard pack of M&Ms. But I remember thinking like, fuck, this would be a little bit more glam. But it's, I mean, then again, it was the Madison Square Garden Theatre, not the main room.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah, that's a maybe that could be my new goal. I'll move down to Madison Square Garden Theatre before I'm 50.
Well, I used to give him shit about it because like, we did MSG. And I'm like, mate, I've told a joke in the MCG toilets, but I haven't played the MCG. Do you know what I mean? Because there's always a side. When you start your career in stand-up, you'll be at like the Enmore Theatre.
Yeah.
But you're in a broom cupboard to 20 and people are like performing at the Enmore.
Yeah, that is not it.
Like, just,
it?
I reckon save it until you can play the fucking Enmore.
Yeah,
like,
I think
that's
so.
Why. Just stay out in the Irish pubs.
Yeah, you don't want to, you don't, because here's another thing about doing, what we're talking about is there's big theatres and often these big theatres have much smaller rooms. And I think that not only is it
literally like
where
they store props and they move them out for the festival because they know losers like me will be like, I want to sign at the Enmore.
I think what's really bad about that is your fans who have bought tickets get really excited for you, especially when they arrive. They go, oh my God, he's made it. Look, they get into the beautiful foyer. This is amazing. This is a 300-year-old theater. And then they go, no, upstairs.
Yeah.
Upstairs go around the corner.
And then I walk out and I'm like, guys, take a seat on the Maltesers boxes that the theater's been storing.
The out-of-date food that they didn't manage to sell.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you and I both have a love of the United States and doing stand-up over there. And I say it all the time. It's like so culturally important to them where I don't think it is for us. Like,
when I performed in New York and I haven't done it much. I did three club spots. But the difference was the audience was so educated on what the, yeah, is expected of them.
Yeah, they watch shit all the time, and they know what's... Yeah, exactly. They know they've got to bring it also. Yeah. And they watch a lot of comedy, so they're like, oh, let's see some takes in the news. And that, and they're kind of measuring you against, oh, we've already heard some topics, so you better be good.
Yeah.
Whereas Australia at the festivals, particularly here at Perth...
Australia is like, we'll see... Oh, it's like most average punters, and I'm not talking about my fans, but the average punter is like, oh, the comedy festival's on... Who should I see? And then they pick
their
favourite.
Because Adelaide's my base. Adelaide's my base.
Yeah.
I think, like, I don't have fans. I've learnt that. Yeah. What I am is I'm like the Ferris wheel at the show. They're like, you wouldn't necessarily say you're a fan of the Ferris wheel, but you're like, well, it's on. I go every year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That I know that the Adelaide Fringe is on because I took a ride on Amos Gill for a period.
Yeah.
And then I come out of the festival and I'm like, I've put on a big show. Would you guys come? And they're like, nah, mate, we'll see you in March.
We're Amos Gill there.
Amos Gill is... It's like having a Dagwood dog. You go, we only do it there.
that's true.
That's not a food for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and you love the Dagwood when you're having it.
I have a guilty pleasure for that one night where they're like, what awful things has he got to say about trans and women's football now? This year I combined the both.
Like the new mayor of Perth. Did you see what he had to say about slow motion football?
I wish that he just... It was like, the women's tennis isn't as exciting.
And I mean, especially now that... Is Serena Williams even in it?
But all the tennis sucks. There's no Federer, there's no Nadal, Novak Djokovic is gone. Like, it's the reserves to literally anything else that's running right now. Are you a tennis guy?
I get into it when Nick Kyrgios is in trouble. And then he goes, I'm not apologising. And I go, let's go Kyrgios. And then I'm out.
I have like a fleeting interest in tennis because my cousin's world number 400.
Yeah. Is he making a living off that?
She.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, that's much less exciting. Don't worry about it. It's not even an answer.
No, man. It's like, it's an awful. I don't think she actually, like, I don't think she even has a dream of being a tennis player anymore. It's just that her dad is funding her to travel around the world.
Oh, well, you got to do it.
So she has to keep playing. She has to keep her world ranking under 1,000 to stay in Barcelona. It's like a comedy film. Where
I can't lose my tan.
She's like, I just need enough ranking points and I can keep eating Serrano ham. So she lives the best life.
Yeah.
Because like to be an actual top 100 player, there's all the pressure to like be good.
Yeah, you need the top 500 to
make a living.
To make a living so that they can be a top 100. If there's no bottom 1,000...
The pyramid. You need the pyramid.
Yeah.
And then my uncle is a farmer, and he's like, he makes good money selling almonds.
Yeah.
And he just takes some of that wealth and he gives it to his daughter and his wife.
And that's that's what you should do as a rich person, is you should just fund... Either your children's dreams or just a guy that you personally find entertaining.
There's not enough sponsorship anymore, like Medici family style, where you get, like, wouldn't you love...
Why can't I get sponsored by just a rich guy? Why do I have to... I have to sell fucking pube shavers.
I've got to be honest with you. I have found that.
Oh, Jim.
No, not Jim.
Okay.
So I made friends with this guy called Jeff. He's like my best mate now. Mm. He's a comedy fan.
Yeah.
And he likes only dark comedy. And he saw me at a show.
Yeah.
And thought, and to be honest with you, I went pretty rough. And I was doing this routine about Down syndrome Barbie.
Yeah.
But the premise of the joke is they make a Down syndrome Barbie doll, but they don't make a Down syndrome Ken doll.
Mm.
And I go, now that means that we're living in a parallel universe somewhere where regular Ken.
This is really high level.
Okay. So regular Ken, right, without Down syndrome, is fucking. this vulnerable Down syndrome. Yeah, she's. Don't get me wrong, she's very attractive. Because even Down syndrome Barbie has a perfect figure. But he's a rapist, is the joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, some people don't go with me on this. This guy loved it. And then we started like hanging out. He sold his company for $200 million.
Yeah.
He owned a drug and alcohol rehab center despite being like somewhat of a nefarious drug taker himself. And he goes, I've got no kids. And
would you be my son?
No family. He goes, I literally just, like, you don't have enough content out there.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, you're not famous. I don't know why. I want to see your shit. He goes, so I'll just like, how about I start producing some of your shows?
Yeah.
But the problem with it is he's like, I'll pay for your first special. He's like, but we need more retard jokes. And I'm like, now that's starting to feel the opposite way where I'm like, now you're like, I can't. That makes me want to go back to the woke.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, just let me do anything.
Yeah, that's like. Do you reckon like the Sistine Chapel? You know, that'd be like, put a few retarded angels in there.
Yeah. It's like, I like a Down syndrome angel on the roof. Michelangelo's like, look, I'll give you one where it's like, you can't quite tell.
Put a nice pair of tits in the corner just for me.
Well, that's the thing is that the rich are no longer classy.
Mm.
And so everything they sponsor sucks.
Yeah.
That's the problem that we have in the world is that when the billionaire class used their money to build beauty,
mm-hmm.
the world was actually a better place.
Yeah.
But now
they're making bunkers.
They just make bunkers and go to space. And listen, anyone you haven't seen my show, but the reason they're going to space is because Epstein's Island was shut down and now they have to have somewhere else to
take their victims. Is it illegal up there?
I don't know. I mean, it's international waters. So, as I've been saying in my show, in space, no one can hear you scream. And that's all that matters to the elite cabal.
Man, I need to talk about the gig that I did last night.
Yeah, you told me that you bombed and I was very excited about this.
So I've had a great run in Perth. I've been doing my shows. These are the first shows I've been doing since March last year.
Yeah.
And last night was my final show and I had
And this is your own audience?
My own audience, but I also...
Shame on you.
No, here's the thing. I had my final night of Perth Fringe was four amazing gigs. I got to do the Comedy Lounge twice.
Yeah, good club.
Early show and the late show. And then in between that, I got to do my show.
Uh-huh.
So I do the Comedy Lounge and I fucking annihilate. I'm like, I'm great. I do my show, crushed, best show of the run. I'm like, dude, I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
Then I go back to the Comedy Lounge and I fucking crush again. I'm the greatest comedian of all time. Then I've got a 10:30 show. That's the dark comedy show.
Yeah, okay, I've already got some issues with this.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't like dark comedy shows because I'm like, I do that at the 6 p.m. show anyway. I'm like, where were you cowards for all the other shows?
This is the thing.
Yeah.
I didn't have to change my set for the dark comedy show, right? Mm. I'm just thinking that it's going to go better because I'm giving them exactly what they paid for. Because when I do my stuff at the Comedy Lounge, generally I'll do well, but there's a few mums that are like, this is horrible, and I agree with them. Fair enough. It's not for you.
We want Matt Rife.
Yeah.
And you're like, look, I'm trying to get handsome. I'm on my way, and then it's over for you.
Yeah. When I get the braces off and I start hitting the gym a bit more, I start eating even more solid food.
Yeah.
Then I'll start talking to women.
So these guys have come to the show, the dark show, and they're expecting, let's be quite frank, to hear probably some, genocide material, rape material.
Mate, I get up
this
there.
This is the billing of the show, right? Say whatever you want.
Literally, the guy running the gig, great guy, sends me three paragraphs of like, here's how you prep the audience, of tell them it's going to be fucked, tell them it's going to be this, tell them it's going to be that. I get up there and I start doing the same jokes I've been doing and crushing with, silence. They look at me with fear. Like,
oh, so you think, I thought maybe they were like, no, you're not going hard enough. You're saying it was too much for them.
It was way too much. I did 15 minutes.
Yeah.
There were 30 people there. Four people laughed at points.
The rest of them
literally, I sat there in silence for a minute and that was the biggest laugh that I got, because I got 12 minutes into it, and I bombed with style. You know when you're bombing so hard that you just stare at them like, I'm not stopping.
Well, I had a guy the other night give me this one.
Mm.
He crosses his arms as I was doing the Barbie routine.
Mm-hmm.
And he just goes, move on, mate. and I was like this, oh, what? And he goes, move on. No one's enjoying it. Read the room. No, move on.
Was he right?
Well, that's the thing is I was like, I'll find out. And I went to give it a bit of, I think some people are. And this woman goes, I'm not. And so I was like, well, we've got two vocal people saying to move on. But normally you can have a bit of fun and you want to play. I was tired and I was just in a bad mood.
Yeah.
And I just went, move on to what, cunt?
Yeah.
And as soon as it came out of my mouth, I went, oh, that was...
I got angry.
That was real anger.
Mm.
And I was like, what should I move on to, Your Highness? Why don't you write me a script?
Yeah.
I was unaware that, you know, I just answered your beck and call. So what should we move on to? And then at that moment, I looked at him and I could tell he was like, he actually didn't hate me that much. He was just kind of like, he just let out because it was so awkward, move on.
Mm.
And it was, dude, same thing.
So he thought he was trying to help you.
So silent.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I just went, what should we move on to? Because I've moved on and this is what we've moved on to. Still silence. And then I just went, all right then, Down syndrome Bratz dolls. And like, it kind of like punctuated a bit, but dude, this gig just took a, because at that point no one liked you.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those people like, you just don't like me anymore, and then it's not funny. And there was a couple who came backstage. Yeah. I'm just sitting there on my phone.
Yeah.
The crowd is walking out past me, and there's like just a curtain there. And I do this thing where I go da 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 da, because I don't want to hear them walking and going, "Oh, I thought that was very average."
It is, yeah. When you're,
I can't.
When you're hearing the opinions that they think you can't hear.
He started out strong, but I didn't know what. Oh, he's not very funny overall. And this couple came back. And I couldn't see them enter at first, and they just felt, they put a hand on my back and they slow rubbed my back like this. It was so much. And she goes, "Sorry, Dal."
Oh no. She goes,
"We saw you last year and it was packed. The room was full." And
oh no, the sales as well.
Yeah, she goes, "Oh, you know, I don't know what happened this year. It just wasn't the same."
So that not even we liked it and no, they're wrong, just we also didn't like it.
Just
sorry.
Like, this was so horrible. As opposed to where it had been before. We're wondering, is everything okay with you?
Oh, that's
and that
rough.
One, like, if that got me way more than the guy who, like, hated me. Because yeah. I was like, I've let them down. They believe I'm, like, ill.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, like, I'm going through some horrible...
Disappointed horrible, fans.
Disappointed people yeah, that came along to the horrible. Body program. Yeah, I've had a lot of shockers over here. But, I mean, obviously you get some good ones.
Mm.
But I really think there is nothing better than sticking... Like, when I was younger, I would definitely change a bit more and go, all right, maybe tone that down.
Now, I stayed in the pocket. I yeah. did what I was paid to do. Yeah. I was like, they were hating me, and I literally told them, I said, you guys have bought a fucking spicy meal, and now I'm giving it to you, you know, and you're like, oh, it's a bit too hot. I looked, there were two girls that were loving me. Mm-hmm. I went, these two girls are loving me. This woman over here, she fucking hates it. Yeah. And she goes, I do. And I said, and you know what? Now I'm only performing to these two people and the rest of the 20 out of you can get fucked.
Oh, the full hostage.
And I move into my Stephen Hawking yeah. bit, where it's a new bit.
Yeah.
And I was so upset because I did it to my audience and it annihilated, and it was a current news, it's a current news thing. So I'm like, I'll put it out as a clip. Didn't hit record on my fucking camera.
Oh,
so I'm
so
like,
got this.
No matter what I do, I have to get it on film. And I just did it to them and it ate shit the whole time. And I just did it just to practice the bit. I'm up there going, you know, I'm not saying that he definitely didn't do it. I'm just saying it's hard to imagine how he did.
Yeah.
You
look,
know,
all like, I think is like, man, just watching him push through the sand does go to show how good young pussy must be.
Well, what did they do? Did they duct tape him to an ATV with a remote control? How did they get him there?
For me, it's like, because the joke I've been doing on my show is like, my mate said he got a blowjob, and in my head, some girl unplugged his computer chip and blew in it like a 64 game that had glitched. And then plugged him back in and flicked it on and off again.
I was up there going, look, maybe that's why he's got that expression on his face all the time, because 100% of his effort went into moving a single digit into a minor. And then he got stuck. And I'm doing this. And I'm holding it. No one's laughing.
Just absolute silence.
Even the people that were loving me were like, no,
what
we can't.
What would have been amazing is if he didn't see there was a severely disabled man. And he's like, ha, 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 ha. My favorite ever that I've seen like this is this guy goes, there was a gig in Adelaide that was famous because there was a severely disabled man that came every week.
Yeah.
His carer took him and he loved stand-up.
Yeah.
And he was in a lot of pain.
Mm.
And so throughout the show, he would always be like this, but we just knew.
What, moaning in pain?
Just moaning in pain, oh, but no. We were like, we all knew, so yeah, and fine. The audience knew, so I was like, just, he's good, he's enjoying this, man, he's a great guy, it's not like he's heckling even, he's just in pain. So you do the set.
Oh, that's horrific.
But there was an out-of-towner who came.
Yeah.
And he starts emceeing, he's like, what's going on, mate, how are you, blah, blah, blah. And then you hear, and he goes, what's that? Go on, say it again. Oh, you're a coward. And so we're all like, oh, fuck, fuck, fuck. I hope he moves on. Anyway, 10 minutes go by. He's going again. And he goes, nah, that's it. Nah, who was it? Go on. He goes, are you fucking, someone dying back there?
Yes. Right?
And everyone's like, uh-huh. And then he goes to the break. And then Craig Egan, the runner of Adelaide Comedy, puts the lights up so everyone can find their way to the toilet.
Oh, no.
And you just watch the host see the person in the wheelchair, and he just slides like this down the thing, and he was like, I can't go back on. I can never return ever again. He's like, I can't MC the second
I've done half. Shit like that before. I remember once at my Melbourne Comedy Festival show, and it's my brother's fault. My brother's a tradie, mm-hmm. right?
So what kind of trade?
He's a concreter. As progressive as I am, because I'm in the arts, even, he's a tradie.
Because I'm a wog, I'm like, that's very respectful.
Yeah.
Concrete.
Yeah.
There's nothing like concrete, mate.
Yeah,
concrete's very good.
Yeah, he got the job, and 2 days after, he just got chest hair.
Right, he just immediately...
And started wearing wife beaters and gold
puts
chain.
Puts a fucking hanky over his head, like one of those Greek immigrants.
Yeah.
And is he, like, rich?
He's crushing it. Yeah, he's got the big Hilux, everything.
The Ford Raptor.
Yeah, he's got custom trays and he's lifted it and he's and got the loud,
like,
exhaust.
I actually don't know you that well in that regard. Like, are you completely and utterly incompetent or what?
I'm on my learner's permit. I have no driver's license.
So were you guys close?
Yeah.
We aren't. Is he older brother or younger?
He's younger. Yeah, so we weren't that close when we were growing. When I was like 15, we kind of drifted apart a little bit, but now we're very close.
How many years apart?
2 years.
2 years. Yeah, my brother and I are 4, and we did have that middle period too. Where was that?
When both of you were trying to become very different.
Going your own way.
Yeah.
And the problem with a brother is that they know you so intimately that every time that you go through a phase, they're like, who are you kidding? So you need to cut them out for a bit.
Yes.
As you go through this awkwardness. But now it's like, he's my out and out like best friend.
Yeah. Yeah, we're very much like that.
Yeah, they're the only person that, like that's the one that you can call up and cry with laughter at.
Yeah.
Because you're doing an impression of your mum being a bitch.
Yes.
And it's the most therapeutic because it's like we had to get through our childhood together.
Yeah.
But like my brother's like a real capable, very, very liked.
Yeah.
Very sociable.
Yes.
Like, he's into people.
This is my brother.
Yeah. And it's like, I can turn that on like a sociopath, but like,
you need to recharge the battery.
I need to recharge the battery. And also my brother, who he just says some of the most savage things to me without meaning to, he goes, you know, the thing about you is that thousands of people like you, but no one really loves you. He goes, that's like the world of comedians, isn't it? It's like, you're obsessed with like getting the affection of people that you've never met, but you just ignore everyone that really matters.
Yeah, that's brutal.
My whole job
is no, I'll do the conversation, you just sit there and give me the approved noise, but don't fucking say anything because this is my hour, and sometimes it's going to be an hour and a half.
You point me in the right direction by sound,
and even if you're not liking it, I got paid for 15 minutes, so fuck you. I'm doing 15.
Okay, so what's the story with you at the moment? Because I know you've been very, I would say sick, but it's not sick, is it? You had surgery.
No, well, I was very sick. And
did
then...
you get septicemia or anything?
No. I had a horrific sleep apnea.
Right.
Like, I needed the surgery just as lockdown started. And then it was 2 more years, and then it was an emergency.
I was, so
it was
messaging
like
you
4 years.
What camera should I buy? And 20 times you texted me the camera, and I was just like, I am still looking for a camera. You're like, see above.
Yeah,
I'm so incompetent. And then I just wanted to read some messages. I think this is amazing.
Okay.
This is what you said. 26th of May, 2022.
Okay.
Heading into surgery tomorrow. Wonder what meds I'll get. And I said, hopefully more powerful than my Oxy 5mg. If you do not use them all, is there a chance that you could lend me a script? So immediately, I'm just a disgusting degenerate. I've never touched drugs. They could probably give me Panadol Plus and it would work. Then you've gone, I'll fax you the script. Okay, and I said, so anyway, what's going on? What are you doing? And you go, I'm getting decapitated, whole upper jawbone detached and split in half, then widened and reattached in a more forward position. I go, fucking hell. Anyway, what do you reckon of this camera? So already...
Thanks, man.
Was it already...
No,
really,
good luck.
Really supported, right?
Yeah.
Then you go, I go, what about Canon XA40?
Like, I know every fucking camera.
Okay. One day later. So I do write to you. Good luck, brother.
Oh, thank you.
You write back to me. Here we go. 2:30 in the morning. Amos Grill. Ha 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 ha. You're a barbecue. I'm on a chair. And I go, ha ha ha. Then you've sent me a video. So God knows.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah. What you've sent there. And then you go, I've snuck boot polish in. Oxy loophole. Now I have a moustache. Oh, look at my dosage. My good friend Norman. So you were fucking gone. But this is you. OxyNorm was the drug that you got put on.
Oh, OxyNorm.
Then you sporadically just send me messages going, Normie. Then I did not talk to you for 1 year. Normie.
That's awesome. Yeah, so I blew it for a year. Now he's back. Welcome back.
So what's the... And like, you're feeling... How do you feel when you... Because we haven't seen you around.
Mm.
And then you're back...
Yeah.
Around the crew again. Did you feel... Because is there a tendency to want a retreat? Do you love the private too much now? Because, you know, a lot of people say COVID, the lockdown. Some people go, I learnt that I'm more of a shut-in. You've been an extra shut-in. And now you're out in the real world again.
I have really embraced solitude.
Yeah.
I feel like I've returned to myself.
Hence the epitetus again. Yeah.
100%. Like, I was building and things were going really, really well. And I was like, I need a team.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hired a team and it was really good and it really helped my career. But in my head, I was like, to be a good boss, I need to be there all the time. Mm-hmm. And it completely burned me out just being surrounded by people all the time. And I liked them, but being surrounded all the time was like crazy.
This is when I used to do your show with Luke, right?
Yes.
Yeah, man, you were like, you had like 9 dudes running around.
It was wild. Office. So there was the Luke and Lewis team, but then there was the Lewis Spears team. Uh-huh. So I was just hopping from one team to another, just permanently surrounded. And then also at the same time, I was fostering my girl's little brother. So it was like...
What?
Yeah. and I was really ill.
Oh my Lord.
I also had
you
to sleep.
You were fostering?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, so that's hectic.
And here I'm like, yeah, so like, you know, your brother's the capable one.
Yeah.
You know, you're capable like me, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm kind of fostered a child, but anyway.
Yeah, so I'm a new, I was a...
How old?
He is 16 now, so we got my son when he was 14.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's tough.
That was learning how to be a dad with a 14-year-old was hectic.
Yeah, that's like you're a head coach of a football team that's like already got its ways. You know what I mean? Like you didn't get draft picks and go, this is the game plan. You're like, listen, you're already kind of a man.
And also, I've like, never played football in my life.
You're a man. I don't know how it works. You're already a man, basically.
Yeah.
What do you? I don't even know how you like get their respect.
Yeah, that was there was a lot of inbuilt. Skills and and
because like at 14 it's like you're almost borderline like if it was the United States they'd just get on a Greyhound bus and be like I'm starting a business in Florida or something like Cat Williams you know like they wouldn't even go I'm gonna have another parent
it was very very like it's difficult you know it's difficult but super rewarding like he's doing great now and you know proper like very very proud
you
of
get
my
to
son.
Be a dad.
Yeah.
But you didn't have to change a diaper. And there is something wonderful about this.
That there's positives and negatives for sure. No diapers. I didn't have to do the school drop off ever. Not that I could, I've got no license. But you know, if I had to do a drop off, that would have been a disaster, but it wasn't. You can walk to school.
Look, man, it's very kind what you've done, but if I get a foster dad who couldn't drive me places, I'd be like, can we go back in the draft? Is there anyone else?
put me in a home.
Are you fucking kidding me? Like the orphanage has a bus.
I'll take the shelter.
Like, yeah. We go through the drive-thru Maccas, you're like, you can walk, mate.
Yeah. You're going through the front, you order.
Okay, so you've had a lot going on.
Yeah, and now...
Do you talk about this in stand-up, or are you going more talking about the world?
Well, I feel like that show's being written, because, man, I was so ill, my brain didn't work. So I... If I'm being honest, and I can only say this now because the show's really good, but it's the same show that I'm doing that I did last year at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. And I wasn't well enough to tour it. I did it purely to pay for my new head. And I couldn't say it at the time, but I wrote it in 4 days
at the library
as an emergency.
And then you decided to go at the Buddhists.
Yeah.
And then they put a hex on you, no doubt.
And it didn't work, or it's working the opposite way.
Have you had any lingering Buddhists?
Completely gone. I'm gonna put a YouTube video up about the protest, like recapping it, and that might kick it up a little bit, but as a whole, they're very forgiving.
Because I heard through the curtain you do something with Zero. That was very good, but what a strange, of all the hate groups to have.
That's,
walking away with the Buddhists.
Mm.
And the fact that they are that they can't detach from the love of their Dalai Lama.
He apologized. He agrees with me.
For a religion that is about not attaching yourself to things and being overly emotional.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was a bizarre
I didn't even know that I could make people that angry. It's the angriest, you know, the Prince Philip viral. And
I remember watching it being like, fuck me, how do I get the Buddhists?
Yeah.
How do I get the Buddhists on board?
Well, that's the thing. It was just the joke that I wrote was like an exercise of like, oh, current news thing happened. I'll write a joke, it out, move on. And then 200 people outside my venue.
But it's not like, I don't know, they don't have like is there a Buddhist version of like the fatwa? Where it's a lifelong vendetta? Because if you piss off enough Muslims, and you get the fatwa put on you, that's like license to kill on you forever. I don't know if the Buddha would have the teachings.
Well, he got a lot of money from the CIA, so maybe.
The Buddha did.
The Dalai Lama did.
What was he getting money from the CIA for?
Because
something to do with
he was
China?
Just fucking with China. Yeah. Like, because this was at the time when Tibet, I believe, wasn't China yet.
Uh-huh.
You know, because, well, Tibet's Tibet, but China says it's China. It's like what they want Taiwan to be.
Yeah, Mountain Taiwan.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, but they won, they got it.
Altitude Taiwan, yeah.
Yeah, so he was getting, like, crazy money from the CIA to just be disruptive. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think just be like, don't let Tibet be China.
Well, he's a nice, he's a nice face.
Mm.
Like it's the Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
So it's an Asian face.
Yeah.
To say that this isn't just an Anglo campaign against the Chinese.
Yeah.
So but the idea of the Dalai Lama getting suitcases of money.
It's really funny. Like, and I was talking about that on stage. It's like, it'd be like Jesus getting money from CIA.
Yeah, no, the CIA, it's like the Persian Empire or something is giving money to Jesus because they're like, he's agitating the Romans.
Yeah.
And Jesus is like, man, it was really, really exhausting to have to make all those fish. No, I can just buy them. I'm sick of performing miracles.
Yeah, that'd be money. Like the billionaire being like, more Downey jokes, you know?
Strings
they're giving money to Jesus.
Yeah, right. So you got rinsed on that. And now, look, the truth is that the Dalai Lama's failed then because China has taken everything.
Well,
if it was any other leadership and Tibet was taken like that, he'd step down.
Yeah.
If he had any courage, but he let his people down.
Well, I think, I've thought about this a lot. I think that the protest that I got, right, because pretty much all Tibetan Buddhists, because there's Buddhists and then there's Tibetan Buddhists, with like different, it's like Catholicism, Christianity,
right.
Like he's the Pope, basically. Pretty much all Tibetan Buddhists are either first, second or third gen refugees who have been oppressed by China.
Right.
So that protest, them protesting me, is kind of like, you know when you get in a fight with your girlfriend, but it's really about hungry.
It's about something else.
You know?
You were a weak point that they could go after her there.
They could finally yell at a person. Uh-huh. Like, they're really angry at the CCP, but
they're not winning that one.
Where do you protest? Mm. You know, Reinhardt's house?
And you might not understand the answer to this, but what's Falun Gong about then?
I don't understand that at all.
Every time I walk around a CBD of Australia,
there's
a woman in tears yelling about Falun Gong, and
they're yelling about? I haven't even paid enough attention to them
I always walk past them, and they can't really speak great English, and they're yelling about the Falun Gong, and I'm like, I want to be upset with you, but I don't.
Is that all the organ?
I think it's basically that the CCP is stealing organs.
Yeah.
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 That they steal the organs and then like on-sell them to more elite members in China.
So is Falun Gong a guy? I think
Falun Gong's a group.
Of organ harvesters.
Of people who are getting their organs taken out. I think the Falun Gong are the ones that are getting...
Right.
I don't... Obviously, again, I don't understand, but I support the Falun Gong. I don't support the Falun Gong. I'm not sure yet. But organs belong inside the people who need them and want them. And you have no right to cut out the organ from someone else to sell it to the highest bidder.
Even if they need it and want it more than the original owner?
I do, even if. Yeah. And even if you're really smart and rich, and you're like, fuck, that cunt's wasting his liver.
Yeah.
It'd be better if I had it.
How about this?
Still not okay.
Counterpoint, what if you're very powerful and the organ that you want that you want belongs to an ethnic
group.
A
poor person, an ethnic group. Yeah, then you just take it. but how good are you at digging a grave? Because you're going to have to make it big.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of them they're going to get. Yeah, this is fucking grim.
Yeah.
But like I have a game show called the Falong Gong Show. And it's a talent show where they get to keep their organ if they're funny enough. Today you're playing for a kidney.
I'm going to get another Asian protest. At the end of this podcast.
This is kind of what I came on here to do.
Yeah.
Is I want you to be randomly doing a show in Melbourne and then there's a woman crying and you're like, what have I done? And she's just showing this podcast episode and you're like, for fuck's sake, Amos.
You know what was wild about the and I talk about this in my bit about the protest, was we planned to get there at, like an hour before they did because the cops called us. There were undercovers everywhere in the venue. It was hectic. And they told us when the protest was going to start, so like, you should get there before that. So we did, but I'm a comedian, so I'm late. And we pull up next to the protest and I'm like, run the red. Cause we're stuck at the lights. They swarm the car to show their posters. Mm. They have no idea who I am. I just wave at them and then they wave back and I give them the thumbs up and they're like, have no idea who the fuck
Were they expecting you to be?
I think like, it, honestly, I think the vibe was like, a local church or something showed up, like the whoever was in charge of that group people.
You have to show up.
It was like, we're showing up the protest. There was like children there and women there, like literally like 5-year-olds going, Lewis Spears apologized. They don't know what's going on.
Yeah, the kids are like, where are we going? And the parents are like, oh, I don't know. The church says we got to get some comedians.
I think it was like that vibe of like, oh, it'll get us points in the community. If we show up,
we won't be able to get. Because what's their restaurant they have? Is that theirs, Crossways? Is that theirs?
I think it is. Well, isn't it Hare Krishna's?
That's Hare Krishna's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm an ignorant man.
Yeah. they're all in robes and they're vaguely orange.
Robed and sort of cymbal instruments walking around. The Hare Krishna's seem okay.
They seem. I love their music. Yeah. I love it when they walk.
They
past.
Actually uplift me. People make fun of them, but to me, they're like a sort of. It's Christmas all the time with them.
They're going around dancing and singing. That's pretty good. That's better than flagellants, you know?
24/7, 365 carols. There's something sweet about that.
That's got to be fun. You get on a roll.
Like, because George Harrison was a Hare Krishna as well, was he?
Was he? I've never heard him say that.
He would just sing it in songs.
I didn't know that.
He sings... Jamie, pull that shit up.
Where's Jamie?
Sucks that you don't have a Jamie.
Where's young Jamie?
When are you going to get a fucking Jamie? You got to get some resources back, bro.
Yeah, well, that's what I've learned. Going back to all of that is what I've learned is like, I do want to build up again, but I need to protect my solitude for my own sanity.
Yeah, there's a song called Hare Krishna, but maybe it's just about them. Harrison continued to embrace the Hare Krishna tradition, particularly Japa yoga chanting with beads, and became a lifelong devotee.
Right.
See?
Good on it.
Yeah, and that doesn't get out there enough.
You know what I realized halfway through you reading off that guy's Wikipedia page? I was thinking of Harrison Ford. and you were like, wasn't Harrison Ford a Hare Krishna? And I was like, I don't think so. He sung songs. And I'm going, Harrison Ford has an album?
Just the idea of Han Solo as a Hare Krishna.
You know what it was? It was, you put George Harrison, and my brain went, George Lucas, Harrison Ford. That's the most confused I've ever been.
Fuck, that would... If they found out that Harrison Ford was a Hare Krishna, they would probably be more shocking than the Weinstein case. They'd be like, he's what?
Yeah, he cares about something?
he's in robes walking around West Hollywood singing songs? That's dark. But the Falun Gong, I just wanted to get this right, because I looked down the barrel of the camera and said I supported the Falun Gong.
That's the clip, by the way, from the episode.
I was a little worried. Falun Gong books were banned from further publication in July 96, and official New Zealand began criticising the group as a form of feudal superstition whose theistic orientation was at odds with the official ideology of the national agenda. Yeah, but what is it about? Falun Gong means practice of the law will. I still don't get it.
I think it's similar to the Tibetan Buddhist. It's just the Chinese government doesn't like any belief system.
It's about vital energy. Yeah. Theories about flow and function. Okay, you talk to the audience as I'm going to do. Falun Gong organs.
Let's go back to the Falun Gong show. That was a really good bit.
That was a very good bit, the Falun Gong show.
So anyway,
it would do very well in China.
I bombed so hard last night that it made me laugh. It was one of those, I feel like every comedian, 1 out of every 100 gigs, you're allowed to blame the audience 100%.
Oh, Well, in Perth, you can do that. I think you're batting 50 from 50-50 there, whether it's you or the audience there.
That is true.
Now, hold on.
Okay.
Allegations of forced organ harvesting from Falun Gong practitioners have been a paramount concern to the international community. This is
also
true.
Falun Gong are at the same time oppressed and harvesting organs.
No, the Falun Gong are the ones where the people are stealing their organs.
They're getting harvested.
They're getting harvested because they're seen as a sort of healthy people who are also ostracized by the government.
Oh, so they're like vegans.
So they're vegans.
Because if I'm an all-powerful government official and I need a liver, I know who I'm going to. I'm going to the vegan to get it. So that makes sense.
Does make sense. Okay. In 1998, the country reported 3,596 kidney transplants had taken place without any paperwork. Jeez, stop it, China!
This is why I got protested, because that's horrific. And what are we going to do? Complain to the Chinese government? Yeah. They'll go, they won't even we're not doing it. They just won't answer.
My favorite clip of all time about China is the ambassador to the UK on the BBC. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when they had the Uyghur Muslims?
Yes.
And there was that clip of them with shaved heads.
Yes.
And they were putting them onto trains to move them around.
Yes, it was just the Holocaust in 4K.
In the Uyghur area.
Yeah. Right?
And they're playing it. And they've got the ambassador there. And the guy from the BBC is like, Mr. Ambassador, these are certainly distressing scenes. Why don't you tell the viewers, what are we seeing here? And he goes, you see there that the Uyghur area in that northern province of China is most beautiful in the world. That train goes through some very beautiful holiday areas, because China has some most amazing fields.
He's doing tourism.
He did basically Chinese getaway.
Yeah.
While they're accused of having a Holocaust. And they're like, but you must address these people. They are people going to see beauty.
See beauty. Work makes you free.
It's like, it's one of the darkest clips in the world.
Yeah, thank so you, dystopian. I would, you know what I would love to see? I would love to see his heart rate while he was doing the tourism.
Because you know President Xi is like at home. He probably has like a pacemaker inside every one of his ambassadors, and he's just sitting there with a red button.
Yeah.
If the guy's like, look, it's not a great look. We've got some issues with him, but we're not... And you know what he does with those organs? He gives them to the Falun Gong as a gift.
That's good. Yeah, it doesn't explode the heart. It just holds
it. Harvests it.
And keeps it nice and safe. It freezes. It just starts to freeze, goes on ice.
Maybe President Xi just has like significant organ failure himself and to stay alive.
He's had 3,000 livers.
Him. They all go to him.
Yeah. Or maybe he's eating them. It's a delicacy over there.
Well, you know what? If you were a dystopian leader and you don't have a taste for the kidney of a very, very specific ethnic group, you're not doing it right.
You know, I would be very concerned if footage showed up of those Uyghurs getting shaved and put on trains, and then 6 months later, they get off the trains and they're very obese. It's like foie gras.
He's just forcing rice down their mouth through funnels.
Yeah, that would be distressing.
That's not good. If I was, what do you think of, like, speaking of the foie gras, where are you at with the animals?
I think it's horrific. I think I look at it and I go, how good is... A good liver?
Like,
is that what you're eating, their liver? It's like fatty liver?
It's a fatty liver. It's just like, we're living in some pretty dope times food-wise, and it's like, is it better than like a packet of Smith's cheese and onion crisps? Do you need
Yeah, maybe back in medieval times it fucking slapped, like before, like when salt was more valuable than gold.
Right, exactly. And the spices and everything, but it's like, God, we don't need to be.
I can leave a McDonald's cheeseburger like under the front seat of a car for 3 weeks and then put it in a microwave and it'll still be quite
it'll
nice.
It'll only be fractionally worse than foie gras.
Yeah. So, like, why do I need.
What about the ortolan bird?
What's that?
It's just, you know, that's that special dish, the ortolan that the French aristocracy used to eat. And now they're only allowed to legally eat it one day. It's a tiny bird. It's like this big. And they get it and they have like a pot of liqueur that's boiling.
Oh, maybe I've heard of this.
They put the bird in basically alive and it is completely fried inside of this liqueur. And then to eat it, you have to put a napkin over your head. Oh, because they say that you, one, it enhances the flavour, but two, it's because they think God shouldn't be watching what you're doing right now because it's so cruel. And the French put a napkin over it, and they just bite it in one, the whole bird, one crunchy bite.
That's, yeah.
And it's been banned everywhere, and the French are furious about it.
Like, yeah, I think, that's well, how culture, can you be angry? Hey, don't ban the thing that God himself isn't allowed to look at.
But like, to me, that's such a fun thing that like the French culture wars, while we're debating over, you know, God knows what over here, like, you know, Australia Day.
Yeah.
Or the French.
When should we have our barbecue?
The French have some far right guy that's just like, the Autolon, this country has gone crazy. When I was a boy, that one.
How do you even
German.
Know I'm eating the bird? God himself hasn't seen it. So
but I love that they're allowed like one day, like one dirty little pleasure.
But like, how do they police that?
Well, they, you know, I mean, there's a lot of black market all along.
Yeah. Oh, it's only allowed to be sold maybe a couple of days beforehand.
But like, I ate whale last year.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I was in Norway. I didn't know, but Norway are like the Japanese.
Right.
They don't whale on the docks. And I was like, is this, because it's everywhere. And they're like, would you like some whale as a starter? I'm like, is this no good? And they're like, it's only the minke.
What's that mean?
It's a minke whale. They're like, it's not endangered.
Oh.
We've been eating whale. And you're like, all right, like, I gave it a go. And it was the same thing where I was like, yeah, it's all right.
It's like all those kinds of foods, it's something you used to have to eat.
Yeah. But I was like, it's, you know, I'll tick it off the bucket list.
Like,
but it wasn't.
Yeah, the whale stuff is like, if you think about when it first started, you had to get 100 men on 50 different boats with big sticks with rocks on the end of them to kill. Like, if you're doing that, you have to do that because it will feed your family for months.
Because
we don't need to do that anymore.
Because I used to, you know, and people would be like, that's cruel, this kind of food, that kind of food. The reactionary in me is always like, oh, that's the way we've always done it. And then I see that we're doing like the lab-made beef. And
I was just going to say, I think vegans are 100% correct. Absolutely
I know,
right.
I know that they're...
But I'm waiting for the 3D printed meat. Yeah. I can't do it.
I know, like, it's one of those, you know, because, like, we look back and I was on the right side of history.
Yeah.
It is with me with the animals where I go, yeah, they probably will be like, you committed mass genocide of chickens every day and you all thought that was fine. But then I look at some of this like lab meat and it is getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. But I was reading an article about it and they're saying, you know, they're going to make lab beef. And I think that's a mistake.
You think?
Because what I think, I would go with endangered species because right now we can't eat panda and you can't, eat well. And we can't eat like a lion. Really, that's not available to us.
Yeah.
Or like bald eagle.
Yeah.
And so if I was one of those companies, I would clone their flesh. And then at the supermarket, you can either eat beef, boring.
Yeah.
Or there's another section as endangered species section.
That'd be good.
And it's just a fucking slab of
and
whale.
And
that,
that's
there.
Like doubly effective because while they're like, you know, they'll start with just a nice thigh of like a white rhinoceros. Yeah. But eventually, if that becomes profitable and we like eating thigh of white rhinoceros, they'll make the whole thing.
Make them be some kind of like, the rhino foot. You know, actually.
And then they'll make the brain and the soul.
You know what? What about,
mm-hmm.
you know how there's always like Jamie Oliver's, you know, pot roast?
Yeah.
What about just fucking give me Jamie Oliver?
That's good.
Like, let's have Jamie clone his flesh.
Yeah.
And it's Jamie Oliver presents my thigh.
Well, how about in the Coles, so you have Coles and Woolies, they want to compete with each other. Coles will do Falun Gong organs and Woolies will do Uyghur kidneys.
Dude, to bring Falun, why don't we just get the CCB meat printers and the Falun Gong can live?
It's sold.
Dude, you and I have come up with this tonight. We should actually get the CIA to give money to the CCP.
Well, the Dalai Lama will die soon, so that'll free up some budget.
It's a budget. And we start printing organs so that the Chinese stop killing the Falun Gong.
Yeah.
And I think what we've done here is a persecuted group by the CCP owes you for your kindness raising awareness of Falun Gong, which balances out all those nasty things you said about the Buddhists.
This is good. So, and if this works, they'll go from protesting me
to supporting
just
you around
doing
the world.
A rally in my, supporting me.
You're going to end up on some chair in a ceremony.
In a tunnel underneath New York. Yeah.
And they'll say, Lewis Spears saved a Falun Gong.
Yeah.
And this if is that good. Isn't a better way to end this episode, as I run off to go and do my fucking show, I don't know what is. I'm Amos Gill, Falun Gong. You've got my support. I'll be honest with you. When I got in the elevator to come up to your hotel room, I didn't think I'd talk about Falun Gong.
Me neither. I had no idea what we were going to do.
I hadn't heard of Falun Gong.
And you know what? This is the only podcast that I'm doing all Perth Fringe, and I'm stoked with that. That's great. It's a good bit.
The other weird thing, this is so strange. You just go to a dude's house.
I'm on the casting couch.
Because we know each other, but not that well. And it is. I'm just like going into your hotel room, and there's just cameras set up, and we're like, all right, should we have a conversation where we're just on a chair facing
Amos
towards
goes,
the
so
camera?
So what's the vibe of the podcast? I'm like, I don't know, man. We'll just wing it.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, Joe, should I do like stories or like, are we going to do the news? And you're like, I don't know, man. Just talk about organ harvesting.
Yeah, I was kind of like, you know when Bill Burr does a guest podcast and it gets way less views than a solo podcast?
Yeah.
That's this.
That's it. You know when like in the comments, everyone's like, no more guests.
I'm sorry, but that's going to happen.
Oh,
and they're wrong. I like the guest ones.
It's like when I watch the Tim Dillon podcast.
Yeah.
And underneath it, people are like, I fucking hate that guy.
Bring back Ben.
Where's Ben? Where's Ben Avery? Actually, get Ray Kump. That's a real deep cut for you.
Yeah, no, that's... I do really like with my solo podcasts, there's always one allowed guest that the audience likes. Yeah. And then everything else is just get them off.
Well, you know what that is, though? That's like... You've got your regular set of friends, okay, and then you always bring like a new guy around, and everyone's like, "Man,
Prince Andrew at Epstein's Island,"
and you're like, "It's not that I didn't like him; it's like I don't like you around him. I want you to be like how you normally are, man."
Yeah.
So I've ruined this for many people, and you'll have to wait till next Sunday.
If you're in very small niche comedy clubs in towns like Cincinnati, Illinois,
Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah,
do come out and support me over there. And if you're here in Australia, I'm going to be at the Adelaide Fringe. Not nowhere else.
Yeah, just Adelaide Fringe. Go see Amos. He's I think one of the greats. And I will be following you to the States as soon as possible. I'm here for the healthcare only. Thanks, mate. Good luck.
See you, mate.
Awesome.